Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens December 3rd, 2024 Finance and Investment Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Audit Committee meeting and is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you're automatically in listen-only mode. Chair Knight has encountered unusual traffic, so Board Chair Baruff has agreed to chair the FIC meeting today. Chair Knight is able to join us by Zoom. Chairman, we have no speaker requests. May I proceed with roll call?
Please.
Board Chair Baruff?
Here.
Chair Knight?
Here.
Governor Cumber?
Here.
Governor Lydecker? Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. And it is Mr. Bhatia.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair on the phone, and members of the board. I'll start with the market update, but please stop me at any point of time.
Can you hear me okay? Do me a favor. Get that thing closer, because I don't know if it's the echo in the room or the echo in the microphone.
Is this any better?
Yes, it is better. Okay. Thank you.
Chairman, would you like
to talk to mine right here? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Chair Baruff, would you like to approve the minutes of the meeting?
Sure. Motion to adopt the meeting minutes.
Second.
Approved. Adopted. Which
Thank
would you,
you
like? I'm playing two roles today. I make the motion and I'm the chair. So I'm a lousy chair. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll start with the market update. For the record, Kapil Bhatia from Raymond James & Associates. We are your financial advisor and investment consultant. CPI rose by 0.2% in October on a seasonally adjusted basis, the same increase for the past 3 months. Over the last 12 months, the CPI has increased by 2.6%. CPI less food and energy, which is called the core CPI, has increased by 3.3% over the last 12 months. So inflation is slowing down, but not at a pace Fed is expecting or what the market is expecting. At the same time, total non-farm payroll employment was essentially unchanged in October, with an increase of only 12,000, and the unemployment rate was unchanged at 4.1%. With 7 million unemployed persons. These numbers are marginally higher than a year earlier when the unemployment rate was 3.8% and the number of unemployed persons were 6.4 million. However, the labor force participation rates remain unchanged at 62.6% and has been fairly constant over the last 12 months. So there is a significant slack in the labor force, which should help to keep the inflation at the current level, if not reducing it from the current 2.6. At the onset of COVID-19 in March of 2020, the Fed undertook two historic rate cuts at an unscheduled emergency meetings, 50 basis point cut on March 3rd of 2020, and 13 days later, 100 basis point cut to a target range of zero. Unemployment skyrocketed to 14.7% as 20.5 million jobs were lost in April of 2020. We have come a long way from that point of time, 4 years later. The economy began to expand in May of 2020 to end the shortest recession in the history, primarily due to unprecedented federal stimulus measures, which also had an effect on inflation, and that led to Fed increasing the rates to 5.25% from March of 2022 to July of 2023, before taking a long pause for 14 months until very recently at a September 18th board meeting where they finally cut the interest rate by 50 basis point. And then they again cut the interest rate in November by 25 basis point to the current range of 4.5 to 4.75%. Recent Fed commentary has been reinforced a more cautious approach, but flexible approach to policy recalibration as the Fed aims to return interest rates to the normal level. While the Fed has not conveyed what the normal level is or where the interest rates will stop, we expect the rates to be somewhere in the range of 3.75 to 4% as a neutral rate. And that's kind of the market where it is signing, which is 3.5 to 4%. We expect another Fed funds rate cut in December, and then three rate cuts in 2025. And that will bring down the Fed funds rate to 3.50 to 4, depends on how quickly they cut the rates on an average basis. And that should be the neutral rate at this point of time. And we expect two-year Treasury to start trading at similar to the expected Fed funds rate by middle of 2025 compared to where it is today. A combination of well-anchored inflation expectations, moderating wage pressure, lower commodity prices, retailers and restaurants increasing promotional activity, and waning corporate pricing are all contributing to stable but lower inflation rate. We expect GDP to increase by 2.7% this year, but slow down in 2025, even with the further deregulation expectations, to 2.1% as interest rates starts to come down and market starts to behave normally. The yield curve is also changing as the interest rates are becoming normal. It was inverted, if you remember, I've been saying it for the last 2 years, but now it is turning to a more like a flat yield curve, with the spread between 2 and 10-year treasury to be approximately 5 basis points, as compared to negative 38 basis points at the beginning of 2024. And the typical 2 to 10-year spread for the last 10 years, or from January 2010 to 2020, pre-COVID, averaged 144 basis points. We don't expect the spread to become average. We expect spread to return to more of a lower narrow range of around 50 to 75 basis points over the next 12 months. And we expect 10-year treasury to remain range bound somewhere between 4.25 plus minus 25 basis points, or the range of 4 to 450 due to the large fiscal spending, while 2-year treasury rates to come down to 3.50, as I said earlier, because Fed is going to cut the interest rate. And that will lead to the steepening of the yield curve to around 50 to 75 basis points. Lastly, this impacts our investment portfolio. However, our portfolio is very stable and interest income is increasing as we shorten the duration to pay for any claims attached to Helene and Milton, as Chair asked during the audit committee. We have around $4 billion maturing over the next 12 months, and that should be sufficient to pay any associated claims with Helene, Milton, or any 2025 claims. And we have been shortening our portfolio, one, to take advantage of the higher interest rates, second, to make sure we have enough liquidity available to pay any potential claims. And lastly, the reinsurance markets are stable, but are capacity constrained. Even after the losses from Hurricane Helene and Milton, which are expected to be more of an earnings event, not a capital event. So we expect capital to be available in the reinsurance industry to be similar level in 2025. And therefore, we do not expect rate increases in 2025 for reinsurance. And if there are any rate increases, that will be below the cat fund layer in the range of 5 to 10%, but more cedent specific. In general, we should expect reinsurance rates to be in the range of 0 to 5% higher next year than this year, even after 2 or 3 events. With that, I'll stop and happy to answer any questions.
What's our current market losses if we had to liquidate the portfolio?
If we have to liquidate everything as of November 30th, as Jennifer mentioned earlier, it's $510 million. But our duration is much shorter. So each month it's declining by around 25 to 35 million. Our duration right now is 2.5 years. So over the next 2.5 years on average, it will evaporate completely with no change in interest rates.
Got it. So if the markets, if the interest rates continue to go down, we should be able to get back to zero faster than that.
Yes. On an average basis, yes, because we'll have some positive returns where we have invested at a higher yield,
right,
and some negative. So on a net basis, it should be zero over the next 12 to 18 months.
What do you reason is the issue with the interest rates going up on the long-term bonds as opposed to down?
Because our portfolio is shorter duration and we have to pay claims.
I'll talk about in the general economy.
General economy, I'm going to say, considering the rates are lower than where they were, I'm going to say at one point of time, 10-year treasury was closer to 5%, and now we expect to stabilize 4.25 plus minus 25 basis point, or in the range of 4 to 4.5. So there shouldn't be anything, but we have locked in some of the higher rates. So it should be good for us, but I don't think so it should have a bigger impact on the, in general, from a macro perspective, because we eventually have to get to the neutral rate or the normal rate instead of artificially low rates, which we have been struggling with the last couple of years. So that should be good for the economy from an overall perspective, as long as we have a normal upward sloping curve. So banks can actually make money and lend money at the long end, which will be helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions? Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Montero.
Hello. The next tab should be the layer charts, the projected 2025. So we started with the PML at 9/30/2024, and it has a growth adjustment of negative 29.5% for both the personal residential and the commercial residential. And there's a 14% negative growth adjustment for the commercial non-residential. This brings us to a PML of 12.4, which is about $5 billion less than the 2023 layer charts, or sorry, the 2024 layer charts. The cap fund coverage is also reduced by about $1.14 billion to $3.684 billion. And private reinsurance has increased almost $900 million compared to the $3.56 billion that we purchased last year. The Citizens Policyholder Surcharge of $560 million attaches at the 1 in 93 year event. As a reminder, last year was 1.73. And the emergency assessment does not exist on this 1 in 100 year layer chart, where last year it was attaching around the 1 in 83. Any questions on this chart? Because we actually have a second one as well that we wanted to share, and that is on the screen right now. This one, the only difference here is that this one shows about a $200 million sliver underneath the cap fund. We'd like to explore that this year using the same budget, same dollars as the first layer chart. This would just come down a little bit further and cover about half the bottom of the layer of the cap fund layer. We will definitely come back to the board.
Help me out.
Sure.
The slither there, it goes like halfway across.
Yes. So, but
help me understand what that is.
That's $200 million of coverage. The reason it's halfway versus the other halfway is it's only 200, so we get a thicker layer there. And so it'd be a 50-50 on the loss going up. It's because our retention was so high last year. If you remember, it's almost $3 billion. So for each of those storms, Debbie, Helene, Milton, they each had to get through that $2.9 billion retention before any reinsurance recoveries came in. We are shrinking, so that retention is smaller. You can see it's 2.445 in this example, and on the last chart, it was 2.645, it's 200 more. It's still large in comparison, so we wanted to look at whether there was the right pricing, the right capacity, if there was a market for us to purchase a small slither under the cap fund so that we would get reinsurance recoveries before having to get all the way to the cap fund.
I still don't get why it doesn't go all the way across. That I guess I'm not following that, but
go ahead.
Sorry.
I don't understand it. So I'd like it to take another stab at working that out for me.
I'll try it, Governor Shelton and Mr. Chair. The layer is $400 million if we just do it all the way, because the market there is usually, that layer is very expensive and we have never bought it in the past. So it allows us to explore the market, but not to go into the market for a $400 million layer. So if that is there, we will get 50 cents for every dollar if the attachment point is there. It's one way to explore the market, what it is, step into the market just to see what the markets are. And if we buy it much more there, then we'll have to change the budget. So because all of these scenarios are based on the same placeholder, just to explore the market, if we can optimize it for the first time.
So at the end of the day, if you are successful in buying whatever new layer between that and the cat fund, it will go across whatever you secure.
It will go across, but not all the way. So if there is a loss for a dollar, we are basically reinsuring 50 cents for a dollar. So we will
you're buying insurance matching funds.
Yes. Correct. So it's basically
so you put 50 cents out, they put 50 cents out.
Correct.
For that $200 million layer.
Correct.
That bought.
The total layer is 400.
Now I get it.
Sorry. The total layer is 400 million. So it will attach lower. If we buy 200 million, it will attach higher. So it gives us a more risk management and cheaper pricing.
Thank you.
Thank
you. For us fifth graders.
And if I may just add one more point, I know Jennifer went through it. In all of these layer charts, after paying for the 2024 hurricanes. So even though there is no emergency assessment, so they're much better looking, and that's why the reinsurance is marginally higher than.
I think these charts are good anytime you don't see red in them.
Sorry, thank you.
That's okay. Any questions on the layer charts?
Nope.
Great.
You're done, thank you.
The next item is the charter. We bring this, Joe just brought the one for audit. We bring this to the committee once a year. Staff has no recommendations for changes.
Move to approve no changes.
Second.
Okay. That's it?
That's it.
All right.
Thank you.
This meeting's adjourned. On to the next one.
We do have the investment report.
Oh, the investment report. I don't see that on this thing. Go ahead, give it to us.
Okay. On slide one, the total portfolio is $10.85 billion with approximately $8.72 billion externally managed by 9 investment managers. The remaining $2.13 billion is internally managed and primarily consists of liquidity for claims and operating funds. The internally managed funds are invested in short-term U.S. Treasury securities or money market funds. The portfolio is very conservative and stable with sufficient liquidity to pay operating expenses as well as current or any potential future claims. The total portfolio average duration is stable and currently just over 2.41 years. As of October 2024, the one-year net income and total income return is 3.47 and 8.39% respectively. And as of October 2024, the year-to-date net income and total income return is 2.89 and 3.74%, respectively. Slide two, the Fed fund rates increased 5.25 to 5.5% from March 2022 to July 2023, and then remained unchanged until September 18th, 2024 at the Federal Reserve Board meeting, where it reduced the rates by 50 basis points, and then they further reduced the rates by 25 basis points during its November 7th meeting to the current Fed funds rate of 4.5 to 4.75%. The Fed is expected to further decrease rates by 25 basis points during the December 2024 meeting and an additional 75 to 100 basis points in 2025 before reaching its terminal rate of approximately 3.5% in early 2026. The yield curve is flat and is expected to become normal with upward sloping curve with 2 to 10 year spread of approximately 75 basis points by the end of 2025. As the short-term rates come down and the long-term rates remain unchanged, primarily due to the large fiscal deficit. Slide three, the portfolio has very strong credit quality. Over 80% of the taxable portfolio is in money market funds or rated A or higher. Approximately 50% of the total portfolio is in treasury and agency securities or in money market funds. In slide four, the portfolio income return is stable and the 2024 net income and total income return are expected to be approximately 3.7% and 4.5% respectively. We continue to get the incremental interest income from higher interest rates with increased investment in shorter duration securities. And lastly, the portfolio still has negative mark-to-market values, but has decreased significantly over the last 3 months and is declining at a faster pace as interest rates are coming down and the portfolio is maturing. And that concludes my report.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
New business. Chairman Knight, I'm a terrible stand-in, but we're done, I think.
Appreciate it very much.
All right.
Now I'm almost there.
Entertain no new business. This meeting's adjourned. right?
Not, and we'll be bringing those recommendations forward and give you more visibility when that's ready.
That concludes our update.
Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
New business. Motion, entertain motion to adjourn. We're done. Thank you.